You've written a couple different series, or got introductions into a couple different series, the Danny Britton series, the non-series.
Right.
Are both of those continuing?
Yes. Yes, they are. I had taken a few years off of writing. I'd gotten really burned out. I had been writing while my mother was dying, and I wasn't taking care of my writing process, which I think is something I wish somebody had warned me about that earlier. I've always been able to write, so I thought I'll always be able to write, even when the world is literally on fire over me. And I didn't take care of it, and I kind of wrote myself into a hole and ran out of the energy and the love of writing. I started to hate writing. And not the way you hate writing when you're in the middle of a book, because you always hate a book at some point.
You always hate a book in the middle, right?
But this was like I was actually hating the act of writing. I was hating the thought of turning a book in. I was hating the thought of pitching a book. I should have seen the signs earlier, but I didn't.
Tell me about writing for you. What does it mean to you?
It means something very different to me now than it did 5 years ago, even.
And you're fairly new to writing. I mean, or at least writing books.
For publication.
Right.
Right. I got my agent in 2009. Flowertown came out in 2012. And then I just, knocked out a bunch of books. And I loved it. It just was something I took to like a duck to water. I love reading. I loved writing. I love just making stuff up. I was a world-class pantser, just writing without a plan. I would just start a series and see what would happen. And then, of course, like I said, I didn't take care of myself. And so having to come back to writing after that time, it's like coming back to a friend that you've lost for a really long time. Like you're both a little bit different, but we trust each other. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of finding that place where we trust each other and the story's coming back. And I'm gaining my confidence again in my ability to stick with the story. It's lovely. I mean, that's the word I would use for it. It's just a lovely homecoming coming back to writing. It is still my favorite thing to do in the world.
Which is both an important lesson for you to learn for yourself, but also for other writers to learn is don't squander it. Don't waste it.
Listen to the signs when you feel yourself grinding on it. When the hatred goes from, oh, I just hate the story, I can't write, to I hate this so bad. I don't have any more energy. I'm just dragging this animal out of my brain to die on the sidewalk. It's a pretty image for you. listen to that because it can cost you something that you really, really love.
Right. Yeah, we've all heard the really crappy advice to writers. And it's always...
There's so much.
Pretty much all of it is crappy advice to writers. But put that in a nutshell. That sounds like your advice to a writer is to take care of it, to not squander what you've got.
Right, to be mindful that your ability to do this is, at the risk of sounding adorable, it is a gift. And it was given to you on the condition that you'll take care of it. So be mindful that you're not doing it for the money, you're not doing it for anybody else, because everybody has this dream that they want to be published, and you think it's just going to solve all of your problems. It just comes with a new set of problems.
A pet peeve for me is always the concept of somebody being an aspiring writer. Now, you can be an aspiring author.
Right. Aspire to be published.
Aspiring to be published. But you don't aspire to being a writer.
Right. You either write or you
don't.
Do not write. There is no try.
There is no try. If you want to be a writer, then you set your butt in a chair and you go write. Now, it may be crap.
It will be crap, and that's okay.
And that's okay.
You have to put an awful lot of crap out. You know, something I did that helped me a lot with that got me back onto writing, was I started doing art in other mediums. I took drawing, I took sculpture, multimedia, and you make an awful lot of crap in art classes.
But you act too, right?
And I act. Well, let's put air quotes around that. I act. I work on murder and merriment improv, the interactive murder mysteries, which is my... Acting is a pretty broad term for that. I walk in and act obnoxious, and I'm usually known as the killer. But even with that, a lot of it is I'm doing something that I have no skin in the game. Like, mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if I'm any good at acting. It doesn't matter if I can draw. So I go into those classes with that abandon and that freedom that you have when you're a kid, because I was just there to do it. I didn't have to be good. I just had to do it. And I really enjoyed it. And that's where I tapped back into that sense of what I missed from writing, mm-hmm. writing for myself.
What's your high point for writing?
Oh, gosh. What do you mean, Mike? Like, what was the best moment for
me?
Yeah,
you know, the first time somebody asked you for an autograph.
No, you know what it was? When the first time somebody showed me my book in the library. Because you get that Library of Congress thing, and that's cool. And, of course, just getting the contract is super cool. But, you know, you were a kid growing up writing and reading. Like, the library is where the real books were. And my book was just in a public library. I didn't put it there. Anybody could come across it. You think how many writers you came across as a kid just because you were at the library and you filled it off the shelf. Somewhere, somebody, some kid might be like, huh, that looks good.
What haven't we talked about that's on your mind lately regarding writing, being an author?
I think it's important, if you have the platform, to do what you can to encourage writers and the writing community, which is more than just inviting people to your book signing. So you have to get out and encourage writers, like young writers. You have to talk to schools. You have to give platforms. You have to buy people's books.